The West Live.
The West Live
with Ben O'Shea.
And now a warning for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander listeners. You're about to hear the voice of someone who is now deceased. It goes for just over 10 seconds if you want to skip over it.
Oh, Mick, you frightened shit out of me.
So I ought to, mate. Sneaking up on a man when he's rendering first aid to a lady.
Is that what you were doing?
He's been described as a once-in-a-generation actor. His impact on Australian film extends far beyond his acting, though. If you've watched Australian classics like Crocodile Dundee or Rabbit Proof Fence, you've seen the acting legend David Dalatingu. His family have now asked for his previous name not to be used for the time being in accordance with Yolngu mourning traditions. The screen legend lost a four-year battle with lung cancer yesterday, and a man who knows him very well, his biographer Derek Riley, joins us now. Good morning, Derek.
Hello, Ben.
So firstly, how will you be remembering David?
I'll be remembering David as probably the most beautiful man I've ever seen up close. But also, you know, for me, I did the book because I had done a book with Bob Hawke, and I thought the other great living Australian at the time was David Gopalil, you know, our greatest actor, and, you know, a living connection to 60,000 years of continuous culture and, you know, that great bridge between black and white Australia.
Yeah, well, that was the thing with David, wasn't it? Like, he really did walk in two worlds. He was always very connected to his Yolngu people of Arnhem Land, but as he found fame, and he did find incredible fame, like in the documentary My Name is Gopalil, he talked about dining with the Queen in London. Just how big of a celebrity did he become?
Well, you have to walk, because The Walkabout was a massive success, and I think it's still one of the, you know, 50 greatest British films ever made, even though it's, you know, obviously Australian setting. And he became such an overnight success. You know, he did dine with the Queen of Buckingham Palace, and I actually spoke to David about a story that he speared one of the ducks in the pond. And you can never tell David whether it was true or not, but he was pretty convincing that he speared a duck in the Queen's pond. But yeah, so he actually, you know, went to parties with Bob Marley and John Lennon and Jimi Hendrix in London, and he had a wild old time. And and, you know, David loved being a movie star, and of all the sort of celebrities I've interviewed or been near to, he's one person who loves the camera more than anyone. And even when he was very sick, you know, he wouldn't be very animated, but then turn the camera on, boom, he just come into life. He just loved the camera and he ate it up.
Yeah, I know, you're right. I've interviewed him a couple of times, and also interviewed Molly Reynolds, who made that documentary that I just mentioned. And she spent time with him when he really was quite crook, living in South Australia. And she basically said exactly what you did, that when the cameras were rolling, it was like he was himself again. As soon as they stopped, you could really see the impact of that illness. I'm curious to know, like, in your opinion, just what sort of a legacy do you think he leaves, both in terms of Australian cinema and for Aboriginal people in this country?
I think cinema-wise, I think he should be a case where every actor should study Gopalil. When I meet actors now, they say, you know, who do I like? So you have to watch two pivotal scenes in Charlie's Country. One is the opening scene where David receives a letter and he's in his humpy. There's no words spoken. When he opens this letter, he inspects it, puts his glasses on, and just does all these, you know, he talks with his face without opening his mouth, you know. And he says so much purely by his incredible acting. And then shortly after that, he walks up the road and it's during the intervention and starts yelling at the cop station that they brought alcohol, what people brought alcohol and drugs and all these things in their communities and have ruined them. And then the cop comes out and he goes, "G'day, Charlie." And Gopalil goes, "G'day, Luke." And it's just this beautiful moment where the cop is just totally oblivious to the damage and the destruction wrought on, you know, Aboriginal culture and lives, but there's still this beautiful moment and this connection between two human beings. And I think that's David's role as a bridge between black and white, because, you know, Walkabout was the first time that an Aboriginal person was, you know, perceived as strong and capable, and you know, he was 16 when he played the character, and he, you know, saves two European kids while destroying himself in the process.
Mm. And now you wrote his biography, and he loves telling a story. There's no doubt about that. Can you give us an idea of what the process of writing the book involved? Because I know, having spoken to him a couple of times, he never really were quite sure where the truth was, but David never let that get in the way of a good yarn.
It didn't really matter. Yeah, it didn't really matter. The best stories actually came from other people because they were fairly true. But the process was, so I wrote the book around the same time that Molly was making the documentary, and her husband and partner, Rolf De Heer, put me in contact, and he said, "Mate, you'd be lucky to get 12 words out of it." And I think a little more than 12, but not too much more. But generally, when I went down there, so I live in Sydney, he lives in Murray Bridge, South Oz, and I'd fly down there, drive to his house, and we'd just hang out. You know, I tried to interview him quite formally initially, but the best moments of the interaction between him and his carer, Mary Hood, and I like this hilarious, bickering old couple. And so I would take notes of all that. And, you know, sometimes we'd watch a movie together. We watched the Tracker together. And as we were watching it, you know, he started to sort of go in and out of sleep, I guess, because he was on opioids for his lung cancer. And then sort of watching it, and this pivotal scene, and he sort of drops, nods off, and he comes back and he goes, "David Gulpalil." And he falls back sort of asleep again. He goes, "Movie star." and then he comes up again and he holds up his four fingers, because he only has four because he lost half a finger and when a 44-gallon drum fell on it, back when he was about 20. And he holds his four fingers up and he goes, "David Gulpalil, 5 stars.
he was a character. Like, they certainly broke the mold when they made him. And you mentioned The Tracker, which is a great Aussie film, starring also Gary Sweet, who you spoke to in the course of doing the biography. You also spoke to some other people who collaborated with David over the years: Jack Thompson, Paul Hogan, of course, Philip Noyce. What did all of those people have in common when they were describing David?
Everyone, to a man and to a woman, it was his greatness, because as an actor, he's just a great actor. I guess he's our Marlon Brando. And they all spoke about how, with the camera on, boom, he's on. He doesn't have to do anything. He's him. But, you know, Damon Gamma, actually, who has made a few documentaries about, you know, environmentalist documentaries, his life has changed by his experience on The Tracker.
Mm.
Because they filmed in the Flinders Ranges, and it was all on location for 6 weeks. And, you know, David just held court for 6 weeks. And then Damon Gallo went and visited David in Ramagini, his community in Arnhem Land, and it changed his life. for the next 15 or 16 years, whatever it is, 20 years, his life has been devoted to environmentalism purely because of his experience with David.
Yeah, and it reminds me to encourage everybody listening today to track down David's films, actually watch them, and I think you get a great connection to country. You understand how that connection to country works for Aboriginal people, and also I think you get a great insight into the Aboriginal experience in Australia, which has often been one that has been pretty hard to live through. I think it's informative, I think it's entertaining, I think Australia absolutely lost one of the great ones this week. Biographer Derek Riley, thanks for joining us and helping us remember this great man on the West Live.
Thank you, man.